Luke chapter 15 again, please. Luke chapter 15. And we're going to turn again to the story of the two sons. So that's Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And while you're looking it up, can I say that Mrs. Violet Johnson passed away this afternoon. That's Trevor's mother. And my mother's only surviving relative of her generation, both on her side and on my dad's side. So you can pray for Trevor and Hazel and the family. You can pray for my mum and then for those in the Boyd connection that were Auntie Violet's sisters. And I'm sure that you know some of them, maybe most of them. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring in his hand, and shoes in his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to bless us tonight. Our loving Father, this evening, we want to thank you first of all for yourself, for the fact that you condescend to come down into a little house of God like this one, and that, Father, you meet with us here, and that, Lord, you open up the scriptures to our hearts, and you bless us through them. And our loving Father, we thank you for the scriptures, but we thank you for your Son who speaks to us. We also want to thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we know he applies what the Son is saying. And I pray that indeed, dear Lord, there will be an application of the truth, and that we will hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and that, Lord, there'll be a response even from our hearts. I'm also thrilled, dear Lord, by everyone that's in this service. And I thank you for them, whether they're here tonight in the meeting or at home watching on Zoom. We are grateful for them. And we pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you'll bless them and undertake for them. And we pray, dear Lord, for our drive-in service. We pray that indeed it will be a very special service. We pray that it would know the power of God, that the one who would testify, the one who would preach, even, dear Lord, those who would lead us in song, that, Father, everything would dovetail together to be such a challenge to those who live in that neighborhood who we trust will come to the service. And may it be an encouragement, especially for those who haven't been in church since the beginning of lockdown. May they feel safe and comfortable to be at that particular meeting. And our loving Father, tonight we just want to thank you for the possibility of just being around the Word here this evening. And we would plead and pray, bless our hearts tonight, O God, undertake. We would ask you, Father, to bless in the start of that drive-in mission in Dungannon. Undertake for the one who preaches the Word. Bless the boys, Lord, as they sing at that meeting. And we pray it tonight the Lord will be glorified. And we will give God honor, glory, and praise for Jesus' name's sake. And your sake alone. Amen. 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 I want tonight again to look at these two sons. And we've already pointed out that Luke 15 is one very long parable, broken into three parts. Broken into the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the two sons. And we said that those four things represented the four ways that man and woman can get out into the life of and the world of sin. The world of sin. But the story of the two sons is just a little bit different in the sense that it was a real story. Anytime you see the words a certain man or, you know, that word certain, that means that we're talking here about real individuals or real events. This is not an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, is what a parable often represents. But this is a real story. But the Lord has taken a heavenly meaning out of it. And you know, tonight I want to deal with it. I want to look at both sons, particularly the older one, and I want to look at them not from the parable point of view, but from the real life story point of view, because there's so much we can learn from that. Having said that, in the parable, the older son represents the Pharisees and the scribes, and the younger son represented the sinners and the publicans. That's what they represented in the parable. But think for a moment of the younger son. Here he is away, he spent all that money that he had. There's a famine. Food is scarce. He's had to work. He's had to work at feeding pigs. Not easy for a Jewish lad, presuming that he was a Jew. And very hard to get food, to the point that it almost reached the point. It says he would fain, almost, have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Mind you, my grandfather kept pigs, and I used to go out and try and help him with them. And I can assure you, I never looked into the bucket and thought I would like a dish of that stuff. Any of you ever keep pigs? Did you ever look into the bucket and think, I'd like to be like the prodigal son and eat that? No, he had got to a low point. But tonight, the first thing that really happens of note in this young man's life, it says, verse 17, and when he came to himself, that's a wonderful point. When someone who has gone astray reaches that point. Up until this, if you'd have said to him, you know, are you glad you've left home? Aye, yep. Are you enjoying this? I did enjoy it. Why are you not enjoying it now? Well, money's a bit scarce. But he still had that point, if he was talking like that, had not come to himself. That moment of realization. That moment of reflection. that moment of decision. But here he is sitting, staring into the pig food and wondering, will I eat it or will I not? And then he says to himself, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And you know, whenever a sinner reaches that point and says to himself, what am I doing here? Why am I in this situation? How did I ever get into this? Right. And that's the first point to notice. He came to himself. And then he begins to talk to himself. And says, and he said, how many servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And verse 18 is my next point. He said, I will arise. I will arise and go. I will arise and go. And do you know, whenever a person who has gone away from the Lord and is engaged in sinning the way this man had, whenever he says to himself, I am going to get up, I'm going to turn around, and the direction that I came is going to be the pathway that I will retrace. I will walk down the road that I've come. I will go back to where it all went wrong. I will arise and go to my Father. And you know, that's really what the word repentance simply is. When a man begins to repent of his sin, he says to himself, enough is enough. I'm going to get up and I'm going back. I'm going back. I'm going to the place where it started to go wrong. And of course, the place where it started to go wrong was in his father's home. When he thought to himself, if I only had some money and could get away from this house, get away from my father's watchful care, could get away from my circumstances, could get out there and doing what I would like, I would somehow really enjoy myself. But he found out, as sinners always find out, that the way of the transgressor is hard. And the only person in the long run that eventually ends up getting hurt and hurt and more hurt, others may be, and here the father was definitely hurting, but the one ultimately who will bear the greatest brunt of the hurt is the very individual themselves. I will arise and go. So I see him as a repentant man. He's a thinking man now, and he's a repentant man, but I see him also as a contrite man. For he says, Father, I have sinned. And I want you to notice the order here, because this man is really beginning to think carefully. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against heaven. Who lives in heaven? God lives in heaven. So he knew by the life that he had been living. And if his older brother was right, he had been with harlots and so on, that he had sinned, and that he had sinned against God. And you know, whenever we begin to take God into our reckoning, it's one of the true marks of repentance. Sinning sometimes just involves God and myself, or God and the individual. But most often, sinning involves God, the individual, and a third party who is either part of the sinning or else he's the victim of the sinning. But whenever a man is beginning to be repentant, not only will he think of the persons that he has hurt, but he'll think of the God that he has sinned in front of. The God who has been watching every action, every deed, everything. That God, he will know that he has committed some awful deeds in his presence. And so here he is, and he's saying, when I get home, I'm going to say to my father, I've sinned against heaven. And you know, I'm sure that this man, being obviously a very godly, a man who had a heart after the winning of the lost, he'd have been thrilled to hear that statement. Because that would have given the father some little indication that this man is interested in more than just getting back in to my house and getting my food. This man is not only wanting to get right with me, but he's right wanting to get right with his God. Wanting to get right with the God in heaven who has watched his path and watched his actions and watched what he has done. He's contrite. You know, I want to tell you, the Bible says, the contrite heart and the broken spirit, God will not despise. God will not despise. I see not only that, but, you know, if you'd have watched him striding away from home, you know, and money in the bank, whatever possessions he took with him, heading away out, and you'd have said to him, hey, you know, I want you to stop a moment. I want you to think about what you're doing. No, I am the master of my own destiny. That's why Father let him go, because Father couldn't hold him. I'm the master of my own destiny. So Father let him go. Proud man. But now he's coming back. He's a humble man. Because he said, Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me a hired servant. In other words, he's saying, I don't deserve even the very least of your mercies. I have no right to expect your love. I can't hold anything up and say, you must do this for me, Father. You know, whenever a person is returning, when a person is saying, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. And of course, that was very, very important, because true repentance will not only seek to be saying sorry to the God of heaven that we've sinned against, but it will also seek to sort out and to say sorry to the individuals that we have sinned against along life's pathway. That's very clear biblical teaching. And obviously, sometimes we sin that often, and so many, that we can't remember them all. But usually there are just a number, just a small number of key individuals, people that we have trod upon in our sinning pathway, and they need to be dealt with. They need to be spoken to. We've got to go before them and say, I have sinned against heaven, but I have sinned against you, and I'm sorry. So he's contrite. He's humble. I'm no more worthy. You know, if you don't take me in, I expect that. But look, if you would just take me in as a hired servant, a paid man, somehow I could rebuild even a little bit just by getting a bit of pay as a hired servant. If you would do that for me, I would accept that. But I notice finally, as far as this man is concerned, he had faith. He believed that somehow if he returned, went back to his father, spoke to that father in that way, that both God and his father would accept his return and would accept his contrite heart. And that was faith, or he wouldn't have made the journey. And you know, that faith caused him to do what he did and caused him to receive the royal welcome that he received. And you know, dear folks, for the sinner today, coming back to God after going down the pathway of rebellion and the pathway of sin and whatever other name you want to call it, after wandering far away from God, the pathway back is still the same. It has never changed. And I want to say as well that the welcome that the sinner receives is still the same welcome. That father was thrilled to see his son come home. But Jesus had already said earlier in this parable, likewise there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And so his father was watching the horizon and saw his son appear over it and come make his way down towards house. And his father ran to meet him up in heaven. There was another that was rejoicing In fact, there were many in heaven that were rejoicing. And what a special that moment that was. Up in heaven, oh, it's thrilling. The younger son has returned. Down on earth, oh, there's my boy. Oh, isn't this great? And his heart is absolutely moved. And you know, whatever thoughts, feelings, and fears that young man might have had about going home, they quickly disappeared. They quickly disappeared whenever that young man felt his father's embrace. Felt his father's embrace. And you know, tonight in this service, if there happens to be anyone, and you could say with the hymn writer, I have wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Nevermore to roam. If you were to say that tonight, dear lost one, then you too would find that all that has created so much hurt, all that has created so much tension, all that has created so much anxiety, all that has brought great trouble to yourself and great trouble to those that love you, all of it, just in the same way as it happened to this man, all of it would disappear. All of it would evaporate unless you're unfortunate enough to have an older brother like this particular brother. But oh my, what a joy there would be in heaven, and what a joy there would be on earth if we could only come to that point where we would say, he has come to himself, she has come to herself, I will arise. I will go to those that I have sinned against. I will say, I have sinned against God, and I have sinned against you. Please, please. And whatever method or means, we would try to show that we long for forgiveness and acceptance and to be brought back. Just as this man said, just to be a hired servant would be all that I would count as being too good, but it would be just what I would love. Oh, when a soul begins to talk like that, what that young man received in the Lord's time is what you'll receive tonight. Nothing changes. It's very precious. But I want to move on now to think of the older son, because he was out in the field whenever younger brother came home. And I don't know where the field was. It must have been an African field, because in Africa they all live in villages or towns, and their farms are miles away, and they walk to them. And that's the way it is. It's all of my friends have farms away out, maybe 2 or 3 miles away out, and they walk to them. And he must have been away on this farm, away from father and away from the house. And so he comes in, probably in the evening time, and he thinks to himself, there is a strange noise in our home. That's music, that's dancing, that's laughter, that's celebration, that's happiness. And he just doesn't understand it. I suppose it would have been strange, for in all likelihood, the father hadn't had much reason to laugh. The father hadn't had much reason to be joyful. The father hadn't had much opportunity, but now he does. And why is he thrilled? Because the lost has been found, and the dead is once more alive. The lost has been found. And the dead is once more alive. The father said that. He said, it is meet for that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. But you know, the older brother gets very angry. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. He feels his younger brother has been treated like a king. And while he's been treated that way, he's been mistreated. And you know, you begin to sense that coming through by what the older brother has to say. In verse 29, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. You know, this man, he's saying to his dad, he said, Dad, I've worked for you for many years. This boy has wasted those years, or some of them at least. In all the years that I've worked for you, Dad, I have never transgressed. I have never broken your commandment. While this guy was away transgressing, Father, I was an obedient son while he was away being disobedient. And you know, here he's looking at his father and he's saying, Father, do you really appreciate how wicked that boy is? Do you really appreciate how little he deserves forgiveness? Do you really appreciate that he does not deserve any of your love? Do you not think you've made a desperate mistake to kill our fatted calf for him? And there's a real sense of injustice in his heart. But you know, I don't think that that's the biggest factor. The biggest factor is that Father is doing this for him and he thinks he has done nothing for me. You see, he makes an accusation. He says, you never gave me a kid, yet you've killed for him the fatted calf. What is a kid? A tiny little goat. A baby goat. He says, you've given that boy the fatted calf. Really what he's saying to his father, you have not been fair. And I have the right to be angry with you. I have the right to be angry with you. You know, it's very, very easy for us to be like the older brother. You know, if you'd have said to the older brother, you're a sinner. The older brother said, how am I a sinner? Oh, my younger brother's a sinner. He went away from home. He's lived a sinful lifestyle. He's broken my father's heart. He's a sinner. But you're a sinner too. How am I a sinner? I've worked here on the farm slavishly for my dad. Anything he asked me to do, I did it. Never transgressed any of his commands. I'm obedient. But you're a sinner because you're angry. I have a right to be angry. I wish that this celebration was cancelled. I wish that that boy was sent away. And I wish that my father would tell me that he has made a mistake. I have a right to be angry. And because he felt that he had a right to be angry, if you had asked him, are you sorry for your anger? He said, why would I be sorry? I have a right to feel the way I feel. This is not fair. This is not right. You know, dear folks, if God dealt with us on terms of fairness and rightness, then I tell you, he'd be totally, totally, totally caught up in the attribute of his justice and those attributes of grace and mercy would be completely lost. But the Lord has a very difficult balance between mercy, grace, and justice. And you know, tonight, it could happen to be that there's someone here in our service. And you know, there's an anger inside. The older brother's spirit is there. And you think, I have a right to an apology. I don't think this is fair. I don't think this is right. And there's anger inside. Well, you know, I'm sure as the father listened to his son, must have hurt. You killed for him the fatted calf, and you've never given me a kid. You killed for him the fatted calf. You never could give me a kid. In other words, you're dealing with him differently than you're dealing with me. I really should have went away and lived that awful life. Because maybe you'd have done something for me the way you're doing it for him. Then the father just began to speak to him. And he said, "Son, thou art ever with me. Son, thou art ever with me." I want you to remember that. Here the father's bringing home to him. He said, every single day you've been here. That means that every night that you come in, you slept under my roof while he was out on a hillside looking after pigs. Every single day you come home from the farm, the hired servants had a meal ready for you. Your son is impoverished with famine. Your brother, rather, is impoverished with famine, half starved. You've come home, and when it comes to the son, it's the fatted son, not the fatted calf. You've ever been with me, and every meal you've needed, you've gotten it. Which would you prefer? A one-off celebration, or the privilege of being here every day and receiving of my benefits and my blessings? You know, sometimes whenever a person's given their testimony and they've lived an awful life and they've really gone into sin and they've done so many things, you know, and people can sit and listen to it with awe and hear about all the years that they spent under the influence of drink or in jail or whatever, and think, whoa, that's an amazing testimony. But you know, for the one that never went astray, that's wonderful. Thou art ever with me. But then he says something very, 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 very critical. He says, and all that I have is thine. He says, everything that I have, who does it really belong to? If I said to you, that car, if I said it to one of my boys or to one of the girls, I said, that car out there that is mine, or that I have, is thine. What are they going to do? What should they do? I better not say it too loudly in case they do it. They'll run into the house and they'll grab the keys and say, thanks, Dad. This father was saying, I may not have given you a kid. I may not have given you a fatted calf. But I did give you everything that I have. It's all yours. Go back with me. Do you see how that came about in verse 12? And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. So he said, everything that you have, Father, I want you to divide it and sort it out and give me my portion. I want it. I want it. And so the father listened to him. I'm sure he did it brokenheartedly, but he took the goods that were going to be divided up. And it says, and he divided unto them his living. He divided unto them his living. Now, if I said he divided unto him his living, how many got? Just one. But if there's two of them, and I say, and he divided unto them his living, who has received? Both of them. And so this father, he counted up all he was worth. And he may have divided it 50-50. On the other hand, he may have divided it two-thirds and a third, 66-33. For the simple reason is that the older brother should have received a double portion. So the father said to him, he said, Son, you've always been with me, and I've met your every daily need. And also, secondly, every single thing that I have, it's yours. You said you never give me a kid, but I give you a herd. You said I never give you a calf. I've given you the herd of cattle. I've given you the flock of sheep or the flock of goats. You said you've got nothing. You've got a farm. You said you've got nothing. You've got a house. You've got a house. You know, this older son, the father had made provision to make him an owner, but he acted as one that was less than a hired servant, for he didn't get paid. He didn't even get a kid. He acted as someone who was less than a hired servant. And here is this man, and he's just so angry, so cross. He's pointing the finger, and he feels that he has a real sense of injustice and a right to feel that way. And the father's just shaking his head and saying, son, I have made such a vast provision for you. And you have never entered into your inheritance. Never entered into it. And that's why you're angry. This man has come home to a celebration. You do not realize how wealthy you are. How wealthy you are. You know, if this man had sinned, the first sin that he committed was he never entered in by faith into all that had been provided for him. And he acted as a servant when he was really the boss. And you know, every man, every woman, everybody must enter in and take possession of that which is theirs. In a definite encounter, take possession of that which is theirs. Secondly, this man lived a joyless experience. He didn't have a kid. He never called a party, and he didn't have his friends around to make merry. A joyless experience when everything had been provided to have a joyful one. Everything had been provided to have a joyful one. If he'd have said, Father, you know, tonight I'd love a few friends around for a barbecue, and we want to put a goat on a spit. Goat is beautiful, you know. I get it every time I'm in Africa, and I really enjoy it. Or at least the way they cook it then. It's lovely. Father, I want to put a goat on the spit and barbecue it. Do you mind? He'd have said, son, it's yours. You go and do it. Oh, a joyful, happy life was his. But he acted as an unpaid servant because he never took possession of what Father offered him. You know, if I were to spiritualize that for a little moment, there's some that have never gone astray. There are some that have never broken Father's commandments. There are some that have never entered into the world of sin. But you know, tonight they have a joyless experience. And there's an anger resident in their heart. And somehow they feel that the world has treated them wrong. And somehow things are not good for them. And, you know, if so-and-so can get all of that, then the way of the transgressor is the right way. Look at all that they can enjoy. Oh, my dear soul, tonight, I want to tell you, there is so much that God has provided. And you must not have entered in. You must not have entered in. But you know, He failed to enter into what the Father had offered him. He was living a joyless existence without any sense of celebration or happiness. And finally, what was really troubling him, this younger brother and the life that he had lived and the way that he had come back really touched him where he hurt the most. And that was pride. 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 This thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. But you know, the Father comes right back to him and he says in verse 33, it is meet, it's suitable that we, you and me, we should make merry and be glad for this thy brother, not my son, thy brother, was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Lost and is found. You know, it really annoyed that brother to think of what his younger brother had done to the family name. And somehow, you know, that thing can be so precious that it blots out the bigger picture and what should have been a very special occasion for them both. Whenever that younger brother came home, that younger brother came home. Pride. As I close tonight, this is the second time that the Lord has spoken about feasts. And it's the second time that the Lord has spoken to, well, it's actually four times he speaks to the Pharisees about feasts in chapter 14, and then this time in chapter 15. But in chapter 14, he does have a parable to them about the feast. And the feast is of the one who made this great wedding. And then he said to everybody that was invited, he said, go and call them. And one man had married a wife, and he couldn't come. Must have been ashamed of her. You'd have thought he would have brought her with him. Another man had bought a farm, and he wanted to go and see it. Oh, my. Bad way to buy a farm if you have never seen it. And another one had got a yoke of oxen, and he wanted to try it out. Well, the boys must have their toys. And he said, he's bought a new tractor. He's got to drive it. Well, that might be difficult, all right. But, you know, the Lord said, okay, they're not interested. Go out into the highways and the byways and find anyone and everyone and really put the pressure on, compel them to come in. And you know, there was a man came to that feast and he wasn't properly clothed and he was cast into a lost eternity, a sinner's hell. The Lord Jesus then comes on with this parable and ends with this story of this feast. And this time, yet again, we have those like the previous one who wouldn't enter in. Well, that man, that younger brother, he really did make a mess of things, didn't he? He really made a mess of things, but he came to himself. He said, I will arise. I will go to my Father. I will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and sinned in thy sight. He said, I'll be humble. I'll tell him I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Would you just even make me as a hired servant? I don't deserve any sort of position. Just take me in. But in his heart, he believed, you know, if I go and I say those words, Daddy will do something for me. And God in heaven will do something for me. And what a welcome he received. If you're like that tonight, just come. Come. And there's open arms. They'll be absolutely thrilled. There's open arms in heaven. There's plenty of them on earth. And every one of those arms will be absolutely thrilled. Don't worry if it happens to be somebody at work. Might be an elder brother. Don't worry if you meet someone somewhere and they're the elder brother spirit. Don't you worry. Meeting Father. Meeting Heavenly Father is too precious. But you know, if there's any dear soul had the older brother spirit, never went astray. But oh my, there's a real anger inside, real sense of injustice, and a real feeling towards God and heaven in particular. Why is this allowed to happen to me? What have I done? I did nothing. Just come. Come. Because you know all mine is thine. And the Lord has made a tremendous provision for you. And you've never entered into your inheritance. Let's pray. Our loving Father, tonight we want to thank you for what we're learning from the story of these two boys. And oh God, we know that, Lord, one boy, he sinned in a way that was so visible. But another boy sinned in a way which was so secret. And Father, it took an event like his brother coming home to really bring his heart right out into the light and show him the poverty when he should have been the wealthiest man in the area. And our loving Father, we would just plead and pray that, Lord, if there's anyone in our meeting tonight and they represent the sinner and the publican and they've wandered far away from God, may they say, tonight I'm arising and going home. But our loving Father, if there's another one like the older brother, really good, really kind, really hardworking, very obedient, do so many things, but they've never entered into God's inheritance for them, and somehow feel it very keenly, even to the point of anger, we pray that somehow you will reach out to them and say, son, daughter, come in, because in my celebration there's room for the wild and the wayward. But there's also the room for the good and the kind like you. May they come in. Because, oh God, if they stay outside the door will shut and they'll miss it. Father, undertake, we pray. Thank you for your word. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Amen. Once again, thank you so much. God bless you.